I have, from down there in the southern part of the state. I'll bet I have from District 1, Congressman Tim Scott on the line with us.
Well, good morning. I love Anna. It's good to be back with you, Ann.
Oh, it's great to have you on the air with us, Tim. I know, are you back in South Carolina?
I am indeed. I'm doing some factory tours today and all kinds of fun things this morning.
Well, that is terrific. You know, a lot of stuff happened last week, and of course, first off, I want to congratulate you on your award for the Spirit of Enterprise. Boy, what a big award from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Well, thank you very much. Certainly, we love capitalism. We believe that the free market has more solutions than government, and everything we can do to highlight that fact in our legislative agenda, we try to do so. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That was good, and that goes to a lot of hard work that you've been doing up there in Congress and, of course, in South Carolina. But I wanted to ask you, last week you were in the field, in the trenches with the people that were up there on the healthcare being in front of the Supreme Court. What did you feel?
I felt excited, I tell you the truth. I was outside with a bunch of Tea Partiers from around the country, and we were having a blast because standing next to us, surrounding us actually, were folks that were pro-Obamacare, and their rhetoric was just not real. It was based on hypotheses that simply don't exist. But the fact of the matter is, within the court, that's where the real fireworks was happening. In the court, what we heard over and over again was major questions about the individual mandate. And those questions seemed to lead to a conclusion that there may be enough justices to eliminate the individual mandate, and then without a severability clause, and a severability clause is basically the glue that holds it together. If one thing is found to be unconstitutional, then the entire legislation can then unravel, could fall apart. And since they forgot the most important severability clause, if the justices have the courage to follow their convictions, we would see the end of Obamacare as we know it.
Well, that would be a big decision for them to make, wouldn't it?
It would take a lot of courage because the facts are on our side. The courage to follow the facts is what we need. And as I've read articles over the weekend about what the justices are saying, it really looks like they're looking at a legislative agenda as well. Can Congress, in a divided Congress, get the job done of having a replacement bill? And their questions and their concerns about it, that bothers me simply because they should follow the law, they should follow the Constitution, and that makes them come to a decision, I believe, to end Obamacare. But they started asking political questions and not constitutional questions, and that is one area that I believe is disturbing.
You know, I remember when y'all were inaugurate or took your oath back in, 2010 now? 11? What was it?
Yes, January 2011.
That y'all read the Constitution up there to start off the session. You know, perhaps we should do that more often.
I think we need the Supreme Court justices to understand that we do understand that there is a Constitution that is bigger and more important than any of us. It is the absolute thread that creates an American story that can last longer than any individual.
That's right. Well, I was reading over some of the things I saw, and one of them was Justice Elena Kagan asked Paul Clement, when he was arguing for the 26 states challenging the law, why is a big gift from the federal government a matter of cohesion? It's just a boatload of federal money. It doesn't sound cohesive to me, let me tell you that.
Yeah, can you imagine that, a boatload of our money? There's no such thing as federal money. There are taxpayers' dollars that run through the feds. But the fact of the matter is every single penny comes from an average, everyday, hardworking American. And so to give a boatload of money that we don't have anyways, that we're having to print more than we can afford, and borrow 42 cents on every dollar to spend it, to suggest we have a boatload of money to give away is laughable by itself.
Absolutely. I was just amazed when I read that. But, you know, so I guess they're saying we'll find out sometime in June, huh?
Yes. The oral arguments will end, then there will be a period of deliberation, and we'll find ourselves with the decision sometime in June, and I'm very hopeful that that decision will give us a new lease on life, a new lease on liberty, and a restoration of our freedoms.
What happens if they don't go the way you think they're going?
Well, I hope that it gives the Republican Party and everyone associated with the cause of freedom more energy to replace the guy in the White House, to give us a brand new Senate, and then we will be able to reverse the legislation, and we'll be able to do so from a congressional perspective, and we'll have someone in the White House that will sign it. And if we have just a basic majority, not the supermajority of 60 in the Senate, but a basic 51-49 majority, I believe we will be able to use reconciliation, which is a term to allow the Senate to pass on a simple majority Obamacare. We can use the same tactic to reverse it. So if we're fortunate enough to win the White House, gain the Senate, and hold the House, that would be the trifecta necessary to eliminate and wash away Obamacare and national health care as we know it, and that will be a fantastic day in this country. We absolutely need to win the White House to make that happen. And if the Supreme Court is not with us, I hope it just gives us more energy to say to the American people, the Supreme Court made a political decision, and it seems to me, Ms. Ann, the only way for it to not come out the Supreme Court with a reversal or a repeal is for them to take politics as a primary part of their decision.
That would be a sad day for the Supreme Court, wouldn't it?
It would be a sad day for the Supreme Court and all of America. We have to have a court in this land that follows the Founding Fathers' intentions and their written word. The Constitution is not an evolving, living, breathing document. And the old broccoli conversation, broccoli, I said broccoli, yes, I don't like it very much, but I eat it anyway. But the broccoli conversation is simply this. If the federal government can mandate that you buy health insurance, why can they not mandate that you eat broccoli or buy car insurance or have home owner insurance or have home protection insurance or have a drink a day? Whatever they want to mandate, they can do so.
Because it will create precedent.
Absolutely. The landmark decision would affirm from the highest court in the land that it is now the federal government's responsibility to tell you what is in your best interest, even if you disagree.
Absolutely. So we'll be anxiously waiting that. What's the feeling up there on the Hill in Congress? How are people feeling about it?
They're very, I would use the word, they're very cautious in their articulation, but they are simply cautiously optimistic on our side of the aisle. The Democrats are also very emboldened and confident as well. They understand that this is the last Supreme Court of its kind for many, many years if they win the White House. So they believe that this is the last bastion of hope for the Republicans, and that this current construct of the court rules against common sense and fairness and individual freedom, that whoever this current president replaces one of the justices with will be a liberal ideologue as well, and the court will never be the same. So it only underscores a couple things, Ms. Ann. Number one, winning the White House is about who gets to appoint the next couple of justices. If it's a liberal president like President Obama, and the court will become an organization, I won't even call it a court anymore, an organization committed to the cause of making the Constitution a living, breathing, meldable document. That's outcome number one. Number two, it would be to send a chill down the spines of every single free-loving American who who believe that they should be in charge of their destiny and the destiny of their children. Mm-hmm. And number three, they will put legislative power in the courts. And the three branches of government will never be three branches again.
Wow. Well, this is something to be very, very, very watching. We'll be watching it every day, right?
We'll fight it every single day with every breath we have. And I thank you for having me on your show, and I hope that you'll let me come back next month and miss being with you.
Absolutely. I look forward to it, Congressman Tim Scott. Happy Easter. And by the way, have you made a decision who you're supporting?
I'm going to support the Republican nominee, whoever he is at this point. It is time for us to get our show on the Democratic road, and we need to do some blocking and tackling with our base, because it's going to take a lot of work on all of our parts, and then we have to win the independent in order to save America as we know it today.
Absolutely. Happy Easter, Tim.
He is risen.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.